rats. But the Jewish year just happened. The Jewish year is 5781. They try to trace it back all the way back to the beginning of time, or man, time of man. I know the scientists say, well, evolutionists say the Earth is millions and millions, and it probably is, could be. And because I believe that I believe in the gap theory, and I don't believe it's a theory. I believe something happened between there. And between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, something happened in there. So the earth could have been made, because the Bible says heaven, God made the heaven and the earth. It could have been right there, and the devil had access to it, and all the animals, all that junk that went on. And then when the devil fell, came down. So time started when man was made, So the Jews, their new year just happened. They believe it was 57 now, right now, 57, 18. They could be off 200 years. They could be off. If they're off 200 years, that would make it, I'm hoping they're off, because man's only 6,000 years old, or 6,000 years. So if the calendar's off, it's 200 years, we could be in 5981, because God does everything by millennials, by millennium. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. So they could be off by 200 years, because the Chinese could be off. So I started checking out these calendars and what the Arabs believe and all this stuff. And we go by, you know, it's a lunar calendar, I believe. And we go by that. And that was from the Romans and the Greeks and so on. But anyway, that's not what I was talking to preach about this morning. Take your Bible, look in Luke chapter 15. Well, it's interesting. That's an interesting study, to study on those things. Take your Bible, look in Luke 15. I love reading these parables the Lord gave, and a lot of times I believe they're not. Now, when he gave a parable in Luke 16 about hell was a real place. He didn't say it was a parable. Now, he says here is a parable, and he gave a parable. But let's read the first one. It says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Thank God. He allowed the publicans and sinners to come to hear him. Amen. That's what we are, a bunch of sinners. Amen. On our way, we're on our way to hell, but now we're on our way to heaven. And the Lord have mercy on us. It says, "The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying that this man receiveth sinners." Thank God he does. Thank God he receiveth sinners. And the Bible says, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Isn't that something? The Lord would sit down with us and eat with us and fellowship with us, as wicked and bad as we are, even after we're saved. You know, you run into a lot of people. I run into people all the time. They say, "Oh, I ran into this guy. He says he's saved, and he's crooked as a dog's hind leg." Yeah, and that's probably true. A lot of them are. But I don't want to be that way, neither you shouldn't want to be that way. That's why you come to church to hear the word of God and preach and want to get right and do what's right and honor God and be as a child of God, as a child of God. And look at this. It says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doeth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he findeth?" And the Lord does go after his sheep. I tell you, I've seen the Lord go after people. And I've seen him go after people, and I know he goes after me. When I start going astray, he'll come after me. And he'll come after you when you start going astray. And I know this. I've read a lot of stories about sheep and studied about sheep. Sheep are the dumbest animals there are, and God likens us to sheep. They're dumb. And, you know, the Bible says he leadeth us beside the still waters. Why? Because sheep get rattled quickly. Sheep run from trouble and all that stuff. They get rattled. And the Bible says the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And that's what we are, a bunch of bad sheep, And we need the Lord to help us and guide us. Amen. And the Bible says he'll leave that 99 to go find that one. And that's why I pray, Lord, bring that one back. Bring that one back. Keep bringing that one back. I pray every Sunday morning, every Wednesday, God would bring us a surprise, a good surprise, not a bad one. Amen. I don't want no bad surprise. I want a good one. And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. See that thing? They say if sheep keep going astray, and the old saying is if they keep going astray, the shepherd will break the front leg and the back leg, and then that way he has to carry that sheep, and that sheep can't walk, and he has to care for that sheep and you know, heal him up and all that and carry that sheep until that sheep gets used to that shepherd and the smell of that shepherd and being around that loving care that that shepherd has for that sheep, and that sheep will stay by his side then. But we all prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love, aren't we? We're all sheep. And we need to stay close to the shepherd. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 persons which need no repentance. The Lord says, he gave this parable. He said, rejoice with me over that one sinner that repenteth. Amen. The Lord's looking for some repentant hearts. He's looking for people that would repent before him, say, God, I'm guilty, you're right, I'm wrong. I mean, that's the way it is, brother. It's God's right and we're wrong all the time. I mean, look, the Lord's not going to be unjust. The Bible says, shall not the God of all the earth do right? God's going to do right. No matter what you think, no matter what you think is right, God's going to do right. He'll do right by you, whether you know it or not. He'll do right by you. Thank God he does. And the Bible says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doeth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seeketh diligently till she have found it. And when she have found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I have lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. Notice it says that. There's joy in the presence of the angels of God. Who's rejoicing? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Then he goes in and he says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. You know, I think about this. I've got two sons. I got a younger son, and my younger son, he went astray for a while. My older son, he was self-righteous in a lot of ways. And I love them both. I love both of them. He did right. He never drank, never smoked, never chewed, never ran with those that do. And my younger son, he did all that junk. And I thought about this story this morning as I was thinking about the preaching on something. And I thought about this story and I thought, man, I'll tell you what, I know exactly what that father was going through. I know exactly what that father was going through. Our God, Jesus gives this parable about this father. And this father was a good father. Now, growing up, I didn't have a good dad. My dad taught me, I mean, I'm in a good, in a sense, one way, and in a bad sense, and when it comes to spiritual things and moral things, my dad wasn't that good. My dad taught me a lot of, he taught me how to steal, he taught me how to drink, he taught me how to, you know, other, not drugs, but taught me how to other things. But my dad taught me how to cuss and taught me all those things when growing up. And man, I remember going to the bars with him when I was about 10, 11 years old, him getting in fights, and I'd be in there fighting with him and trying to keep people off of him. And man, that's why I learned how to fight when I first started, you know, got around. I got good at it. So I started the gang and got in that mess. And man, thank God the Lord delivered me from that mess. And I'm the baby of the family. I'm just like my youngest son. I'm the baby. I'm the youngest. And my older brother went to Vietnam and come back out of Vietnam. Now he's been in prison for life. You all know my story. You know what's happened. He's been in there since 1975. But I tell you what, I know something about this story. I know something about what was going on. And when Jesus gave this story about this younger two men, or two sons of a father, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that followed to me. And he divided unto him his living. Now, if I would have said that to my dad, you give me what belongs to me, he would have said, get out. you ain't getting nothing, boy. That's the way it would have been. But this father was a good dad. You know what the Lord's likened this father to? And likens this father to God the Father. God the Father in heaven. And I'm going to tell you something. It bothers me when people start saying God is unjust, God ain't no good, and it bothers me. Doesn't it bother you when somebody starts running down our Father in heaven? Because I know better. I know the way he is. I know how good he is. And I tell you what, when the Bible talks about the Lord is good and love, and he's a God of love, and I know he's also a God of judgment, and I realize that. I know he's a God, he's going to send, he doesn't send people to hell, but people go to hell because they reject him. And I'm going to tell you something, but he is a good God. and I'm serving a good God. I wouldn't want to serve some tyrant, somebody that just doesn't care about people, just wants to send people to hell waiting for you to mess up so he could destroy you. I thank God I don't serve somebody like that. I've got a God in heaven that loves us and cares about us, and he allowed his only son to take our place in hell. And I mean, went to hell for us, man. And I thank God I got that kind of God that loves me, amen. When people start saying he's not good and all that stuff, it bothers me. He gets me stirred up inside. And man, I'll tell you, I know better. I know what he's done for me. I know where he brought me from. I know what I was, and I know what I still am, and he still loves me, amen. And he still has mercy on me. He's still good to me. And I tell you what, it bothers me when people start talking about him and saying he's no good and they want to burn his word and want to use his name as a cuss word and all that stuff. But the Bible says the younger son said, give me the goods that belongs to me. Give me what belongs to me. And he says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered together all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. I mean, we know about that story, one of the greatest stories. D.L. Moody said, he said it was one of the greatest stories in the Bible. And he said, when it's 504 words, it tells a story about a boy and a young man going his own way, doing his own thing. Back in the 70s, 60s, probably 50, all the way up to this time, people think, oh, man, you know, I'm going to leave home. America is a mess when it comes to young people. It's a mess. Thank God we got some young people in the church that love God. But it's a mess. You got divorce rampant. You got families split up. I mean, you know, dysfunctional homes and all that stuff going on. And man, if you got a mom and dad in the same home, you ought to thank God for that. Especially if you got a mom and dad that's saved, going to church and trying to honor God, you ought to thank God for that. This boy right here, I'll tell you what, he thought, man, this old man's keeping me back. This old man's keeping me from having fun. I mean, he's been hanging around that crowd, that young guys, like Rehoboam went to his friends and asked them, what do you think I ought to do? And I'm going to tell you something, you go to the young crowd, and the young crowd, all they want to do is party. That's all I wanted to do was party all my life. I didn't want no responsibility. I didn't want none of that stuff. And that's the way the young people, a lot of them today, they don't want no responsibility. They just want to go party. You know, they want to leave home. They think that leaving home, that's what you see. I was out in L.A. and I seen all the young people that thought, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it my own way. I know what I'm doing. Get out of my way. I'm going to do it, man. And they end up on the street and end up begging for food or robbing or stealing or something like that. But I'm going to tell you something. He had a good daddy, and his daddy loved him. And no, any daddy that would give him his living, his young older brother got mad because he gave him all that that was coming to him and gave it to him. And he went out, and he knew what he was going to do with it. He was going to destroy it and waste it. And the Bible says that he went out and into a far country. You know, I'm going to tell you something that this morning, there's a lot of people sitting in church, and they're sitting in church this morning hearing the word of God and singing the songs of Zion, and their heart's in a far country. They want to get out somewhere and go do something else. And you don't even got to go very far to be in a far country this day and time. You can have a phone. You can go to the far country on your phone. You can have a phone. You can have a computer. You can have all that stuff. And you can go to a far country way before your feet even leave the front door. Amen. You can get to a far country. And man, this young man says, I'm going. He had to go and find sin. He had to go to a place. He wanted to get off the farm. He wanted to go out. And y'all remember Brother Chandler preaching that message? Don't sell the farm. Just don't sell the farm. They've got to have a place to come back to. Thank God, man. Thank God the old man didn't sell the farm and getting discouraged. The old man just kept on keeping on, keep doing what he was supposed to do. And he's a good daddy. And he likens it. Jesus Christ is likening this to God the Father. He is a good father. Amen. And he loves us and he cares about us and he's going to take care of us. And the Bible says he wasted his substance. You know what? Anytime you go away from the Father, you're going to waste your life. I'm going to tell you that right now. Anytime you go away from your Father, I'm talking about your Heavenly Father, you're going to waste time, you're going to waste money, you're going to waste everything of your life. You're going to waste your physical health as well. You'll waste away. And that's what this young man did. He said, I'm going out. He had a bunch of friends that sat around and talked about how the far country was such a great place. Back in the day, old days, they said, I remember hearing preachers say this. He said, when you wanted to go to a far country in the old days, you had to get a J.C. Penney book. And you had to look on the J.C. Penney book and start looking at all the new fashions and all that stuff. And you start saying, man, I want to go down to the city. I want to get down there city and see that. I remember my mom and dad told me this. They said they came back from, my mother was on a farm in North Carolina. And she came up to New York looking for a job, trying to get away from the farm. My dad was down in the Shenandoah Valley. He left the Shenandoah Valley. This is during the Depression. And he left the Shenandoah Valley to got to Washington, D.C. and trying to make some money. And he got up there. and got in a mess, and got in a mess. And I'll tell you what, my mom told me the same thing. She got married, and she ended up divorced, and she had three children. And then my dad, he got married, and he had one child. And, man, they end up divorced. Him and his wife end up divorced. And then my mom and dad met each other. Thank God I'm alive. Amen. They had me. I'm the baby. But I was the worst one in the family at that time. I came up. I was living like hell. I got my license when I was 14 years old. I mean, man, FBI was looking for me for dodging the draft and all that stuff. Man, I thank God the Lord just came by my way, praise the Lord. And the Lord is a good father. He is a good father. The Bible says this. I've heard Mike saying this in Sunday school. I think about it, it kind of confirmed to me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. He is our Father, amen. I mean, my heavenly Father. And the Bible talks about, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, take your Bible, look in this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look, take your Bible, look there. Hold your place in Luke. And look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I like when Paul addresses and talks about God, he says, our Father. He's our Father in heaven. Jesus said, hey, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it goes on. And he just said, that's how you pray, God the Father. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. And it said, or back up to, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. See that thing? Man, he is a God of mercy. Praise God. And when people start accusing him of not being merciful, man, they don't know what they're talking about. He's a God of mercies, and the Bible says he's a God of all comfort. Look what else it says in verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. You going through something this morning? You're going through whatever you're going through. He says he comforteth us in all our tribulation. You ain't got to go to the bottle. You ain't got to go to the drugs. You ain't got to go somewhere else trying to find some peace. You can go right directly to the Father. He's a God of comfort. Amen. What a God. He says the Father of mercies and a God of peace. I got peace in my heart. Amen. I've got peace that's come to stay. And thank God for that. I'm walking with the Father, being with the Father. The Bible says, also look in Matthew chapter 5. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Hold your place in Luke 15. Matthew chapter 5. Look what else it says. In Matthew chapter 5, I love this. I wrote down a few verses. Look what he says. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. He says, let your light so shine before men. I mean, we got a God of mercy, a God of all comfort. I mean, he shows mercy and has grace. And the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see the good works and see your good works and glorify what? Your Father. You know what your job is while you're on this planet? Is to glorify the Father. That's your job. You want to know what you're supposed to be doing? Glorify the Father. Give him praise. Amen. Why? Because he had mercy on you. And the Bible says, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Look at look down at verse 45. Look at 45. Look what it says. It says that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. That ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. The Lord gave this parable about this these two sons, and this father, three men in this story. And he gave this parable, and he was likening it to God the Father, having mercy on us. And man, what a God we have, amen? And I'm going to tell you, I'm trying to encourage you this morning that we have a good Father in heaven, amen? He cares about you. My nephew never knew who his father was. He lived with us, and I remember coming outside, and we had a trailer out back there, and my nephew would go in there every day and pray, and I could hear him screaming out, Father! Amen. What a blessing. I'd say God answer his prayer. God help him. He didn't know. He always wanted me to be his daddy. And thank God I could be like a daddy to him. And he says that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his son to rise on the evil when people, and it says, and on the good. He does. Man, he's merciful and long-suffering. And the Bible says he maketh his son. See that thing? He maketh his son, S-U-N. And the Bible says the Lord's going to come back, his son, and with healing in his wings. That's talking about the Son of God. It says, rise on the evil and on the good, and the sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Man, well, I tell you what, God is good. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
The Bible says, look in 1 John. Look in 1 John chapter 3. Look what it says again about the Father. I love this part. I love this when I read in 1 John. It says this, behold, what manner of love. Behold, people get mad at God.
And Christians get mad at God. And man, they take things out. They start saying, God don't care about me. God don't hear my prayer. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know, man. They're foolish. They need to repent. When you start accusing God of doing wrong, you need to repent. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? God's going to do right. And I always say this when I pray with people. I say, Lord, you care more than we care. You care about people more than I care. And when I start praying for people, God, I say, you know what, but you want us to talk to you about it. But I pray, God, you'd have mercy on them. Have mercy on them. And he does, thank God. He does. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I mean, there every day we live, there's God's children, God's sons are going to a far country. They're going away from him day by day. And all he has been is good. Everything that boy went looking for was, man, he was right at the house. Everything he was looking for love. And they always sing that song out in the world. I always come to my mind, looking for love in all the wrong places. Man, I was out in the world looking for love in all the wrong places. So are you. When God, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And do it not yet appear what we shall be, but we know, I know something. I know my Father loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. Never felt so loved before. I could never ask for more. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. Amen. He loves us. Amen. Look what it says. And it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. He loves us that much that he's going to make us just like him. I mean, perfect in all every way. I mean, brand new body, brand new everything. For we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Man, what a God we serve. The prodigal son says, give me what belongs to me. I'm heading out of here, man. I'm through with this place. I mean, man, I'm going to show you how to live it up. I'm going to show you how the world is, and I'm going to come back here one day and throw it in your face. And the father just shook his head. His father said, hey, son, I tell you what, ain't nothing out there, son. Is this going to break your heart? Son, I don't leave, son. He tried to convince his son, but his buddies was in the background saying, the old man don't know what he's talking about. He just don't know what he's talking about. He's trying to keep you from having a good time. There was a man at D.L. Moody used to go around and have these big camp meetings all over the place, big revival meetings up in New York and all that. And it was one old man that used to follow him around. And man, he said this man would come up to him and say, Mr. Moody, can I say something at the meeting? Can I say something? He said, man, you were at the last meeting. Didn't you say something there? He goes, yes, Mr. Moody, wherever you go, I want to go. I want to be able to, I'm trying to find my son. I want to find my son. I walked the streets looking for my son. And he got up in the meeting. He said, son, George, if you're out there, son, I love you. Won't you come home? Won't you come home, George? You know I love you, George. You don't have to go astray. Please come home. I want you home, George. The old man died before he got to see that son come home. Finally, that boy came home, and he came home too late. You know, I know my God in heaven's not going to die. He's not going to die at all. He's always there, amen. Look what else it says in this story. It says, not many days after, verse 13, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. I mean, he had the money. The old saying, money brings friends, and friends attract, you know, to money. When you got money, you got friends. When you ain't got no money, you ain't got no friends. But I'll tell you what, that's the kind of friends you got. You don't need them, amen. When he had spent all, this guy was spending money like crazy, buying everybody a drink, you know, trying to be the good old boy, trying to be the center of attention. And he was just, you know, putting on that he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and it began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. If y'all know anything about this story, you know about Jews. Jews, man, it's abomination for them to even be around pigs. Same way with Arabs. it's an abomination for them to be around pigs. And, the Bible says, he said, they made a joke out of this guy. They knew he was a Jew. And they made fun of him. They said, here's the high roller come walking in here. Hey, have you eaten any hog food lately? I mean, they made fun of him. And man, the world's pretty cruel. The world's pretty cruel when it comes to that. They'll make fun of you. They'll mock you. And I mean, some Christians will do the same, but I'll tell you what, it shouldn't be that way. But they'll mock you and make fun of you, and they know where you've been. They know what you ought to be. If you claim that you're a child of God, you're saved, they know. All you got to do is ask them. They'll call you a hypocrite. They'll call you all kinds of other names, and they'll say God ain't real and all that stuff. They'll try to slap you in the face with it. And the Bible says, and he would frame, had filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Man, this young man, brother, everything he was looking for was right at the house. Everything he went to find, he didn't find it at the far country. It was at the house. And I like this part. I pray this for Christians all the time. And he says, when he had filled his belly with the husk of the swine, he did eat. No man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, this is what I pray for everybody. I pray for Christians all over. God, help them to come to themselves. Help them not to end up in a pauper's grave. Help them not end up living their life and nobody around and end up ruining everything that they touch. What happens to a child of God when they get away from God? They'll just ruin everything they touch. And man, they'll die. They'll die where, man, not very many people even care. Boy, I tell you what, if you're trying to live for God and you're trying to honor God, you touch people's lives and touch their hearts. And boy, I tell you what, and when you're gone, you're missed. You're really missed. But this young man, he out there feeding out of the hog, swine, pig food, out there slopping food and eating it himself, and nobody gave on to him. No man's rich enough to buy back his past. You can't go back and buy your past back. This old boy came to himself. You know what? You know what needs to happen to the church? I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about Christians. They need to come to themselves. They just need to wake up. They need to come to themselves and say, wait a minute, what am I doing? What am I doing? Everything I touch turns to crud. What am I doing? Why am I in this mess? This young man, finally, after he blew all his money, lost all the friends, so-called friends, he had nothing. And they're making fun of him, mocking him. Here comes the high roller. Here he comes. Look at him now. Boy, what happened to them nice clothes you used to have, boy? Where's all that stuff that you was going to do, boy? Where's all them great things that you were going to attempt? Where are they now? He's out there eating hog food. Hadn't had a bath in weeks. Hadn't had bath. Man, hadn't had nothing good to eat. Clothes all raggedy. He came to himself. You know what's a shame? What's a shame is I've seen people like that. That was saved, and they still don't come to themselves. Why? Their pride gets a hold of them. Their pride won't let them repent. Their pride won't let them get back to God. They'll say, oh, everybody down in the church is talking about me. Everybody down there is running me down. Everybody don't care. Nobody cares about me. Oh, man, I'm going to tell you, I tell you, the Father cares. You can say, oh, maybe you're right. Maybe nobody else cares. But the Father does. The father cares. The Father, I told my wife when my son went astray, I told him, he can tell you, he's sitting right here, I said, look, you're not going to church? You're taking on the other stuff? I said, you can't live here. My wife told me, I told her what I was going to do. She said, don't. That's a mama. A mama, it hurt me too. It hurt me bad. And I said, son, if you're not going to honor God and you're not going to live for God and go to church and all that you need to do, I said, you can't live here. The Bible tells me that. The Bible tells me if I'm going to rule the house of God, be the pastor, then I can't rule my own house. So I said to my son, you got to go. He said, okay, Dad, with no argument. We didn't fight. We didn't argue. And he says, okay, Dad, I'll just move out. And I didn't think he was going to do it that quick. He packed up and left. My wife and I cried for 3 days. Didn't we, Mama? We cried for 3 days. And he got bitter. He got bitter and mad, and pride got in there. And what happens is some people take this living like hell and living like they want to as a badge of honor. And they strutted around. And I'm not saying he did. But I'm saying some people do. They'll take this thing like a badge of honor. I'm just going to live where I want. I hope I can rub it in your face. You're not hurting me, man. You're hurting the Father. You're hurting the Father. My son hurt us. We prayed. Asked God to have mercy on him. I told my wife, we got to let him go for God to bring him back. And that's what we had to do. You know what this father knew? He knew the far country was so deep in this boy's mind and his heart that he knew he had to let him go. And he let him go. And you say, you believe that father prayed? I believe that father prayed day and night. I believe that old man sat on the porch and waiting in his rocking chair watching for the son to come down the road. While the oldest boy probably said, oh, Dad, don't waste no time worrying about him. Oh, Dad, he's a lost cause. Dad, don't worry about him. I'm here. He said, I'm sure he was thankful the oldest son was there. The oldest son was doing what his job was supposed to be and fulfilled it. And that oldest boy probably said, Dad, he don't know what he's doing. He's going to waste everything, and then he's going to come back and want more money from you, Dad. He's going to want my inheritance, Dad. That boy was full of pride. Full of pride. But I see people out in the world, man, that's saved. You run into them all the time. Say, hey, man, are you saved? Yeah, I got saved down in such and such church. I asked the Lord to save me. Oh, I got saved at home. But they wear it as a badge of honor and pride that they're still out living like hell, and God ain't done nothing to them. Hey, man, judgment day's coming. Can you imagine? You know what? When Jesus Christ rose from the grave, you know, Jesus Christ is called the Father. He's three in one, like Brother Mike was talking about this morning. It says the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. And when Jesus Christ arose from the grave, the Bible calls him Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. The Everlasting Father. You know that, you know, he cares for you. I don't understand in my own mind. I'm a pastor. I've been pastoring 33, 34 years here. I don't understand in my own mind why anybody would want to turn their back on the Father when the Father has his best interest for you, when the Father cares about you. People get mad and leave the church over somebody else or some other brother or something like that, but they forget the Father. Jesus Christ, when he rose from the grave, he went to Thomas. He said, hey, Thomas, hey, look. Look, man, touch my side. You said you didn't want to believe. Touch me. Thomas fell on his face. You know what I find? I find the problem a lot of times people use other Christians as an opportunity to get out, but they're hurting the Father. The Father ain't done nothing wrong to you. The Father, the only thing you can accuse him of is loving you, caring about you. And why people would get upset and leave serving God, I don't understand. I got saved from a wicked life. The Lord saved me, brought me out, had a prison. And I know God did that. And I don't understand why a Christian would turn their back on him when he's so good. I never forget, I was telling somebody the other day when I was getting ready to go to court, I was in prison. I packed up all my little goods in Baltimore Penitentiary. Had it in a brown bag. And I remember I was on that tier and the guard came by and he says, it was 6 o'clock in the morning and I had my little brown bag. He goes, where are you taking that? I said, I'm taking it home. All I had, all my goods, all I had. And he said, well, he said, nobody leaves here. Go to court and you're coming back. I said, no. I said, God told me in my heart, I'm going home today. They said, nobody goes home. Not like that. Leave your bag. I'd leave my bag behind. I never got that bag. I never got my bag, brown bag back. People brown bagging. I never got it back. And I remember when I got to the to there, and they took the chains off of me. I remember sitting in the courtroom, and them guards sat with me. Both of them, one on one side. They played Russian roulette with me on the way down. I was the only white dude in the car, in the van. I kept telling them, you kill me, man, I'm going to heaven. I didn't know much, but I knew I was going to go to heaven. And I remember riding down the road and got in there, and I remember them guards sitting there. My mother was sitting in the back just crying. My mother sat in the courtroom lot crying. And after I got saved, man, my mama didn't have to cry much no more. The Bible doesn't talk about whether his mother was there. It just talks about the father. But my mother was sitting in the back, and they took me in another room, took all the chains off of me, and they brought me in the courtroom. And I remember I stood up, and there was guards just sitting there to waiting to take me back. And the judge released me that day, and I still had my prison clothes on. I remember walking by them some guys going, what did I tell you? What did I tell you? I said, God told me I was going to go home today. And those guards said, man, that's a shock to me. I got a good father. My father cares. He came to himself. I wish God's children would come to themselves. No matter what the trials you're going through, no matter what things you're facing, just come to yourself. Lord, I trust you. I trust you. You're a good father. I don't want all my goods here. The Bible says lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. I want to be able to have something when I get there. I just don't want it all here. What everybody wants is right now. The Lord's been good to us. He's a good father. He says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, man, I'm dying. I'm starving. My dad's got plenty of food at the house. You know what? The Lord, the Bible says, God knows what you have need of. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he tells you in that same chapter, Matthew chapter 6, he says, I feed the sparrows. I take care of all the animals. I do all that. I can take care of you. But we get to the place where we can't trust the Father. And he hasn't done anything to us, against us, to prove that he can't take care of us. What a father. God gave me two fathers. My physical father, and then my spiritual father. And then I got actually three, heavenly father. He came to himself. Isn't it about time? It's about time to come to yourself. I don't know how many guys are sleeping in the cars tonight or today, last night. People living on the street just wear this thing as a badge. They're saved. I'm running into people all over the place. Saved people. Wear it as a badge of pride. No repentance. You know what this young man did? He started repenting. He was in the far country, and he started saying, oh, God, what am I doing? People that I thought were my friends. You know, some people would die and go to hell for their friends. I had guys in the gang. I thought they'd do anything for me. You know what they did? They turned state's evidence against me. They'd do anything for you. Church state's evidence. He came to himself. How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'll rise. I'll go to my father. You know what? If Christians did that this morning, just arise and go to the Father. He says, I'll arise and go to the Father, and I'll say unto him, Father, notice what he says. I've sinned against heaven and before thee. He recognized that he has sinned against the Father. A lot of people will never admit they're wrong. They'll die and go to the grave in pride. The Bible says God resists the proud, giveth grace to the humble. When my brother was killed, I went outside and cursed God and said, God, if you're up there, I want to know. 2 years later, September, same month. I'm coming up on my anniversary of my salvation. September 30th, 1974. Running from the police. Went to church. Best day of my life. Couldn't read, couldn't write. Thought the guy would set me up to kill me. Best day of my life. We've had some bad Septembers around here, and really, we know where our loved ones are. We've had people pass away in September. My brother passed away in September. But I got saved in September. September is a good month for me. It says he arose, came to his father. No, look back at verse 19. He says, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. You know, you and I sitting in here this morning, we're not worthy to be called the sons of God. But the Bible says, it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. You want to be a pleasing son? Or you just want to stay the prodigal? You know what blessed that father's heart? Was that boy was repentant. You know what blesses God's heart? There's joy up in heaven over one sinner. This is talking about a child of God. We use it for sinners to come to know Jesus Christ. But this is talking about a child of God. There's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. God ain't never been bad to you, never done you wrong, never done me wrong. He's only been good, whether you think it or not. It says, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. And he arose. You know, that should be what we ought to be doing right now, being servants. Even though we're sons, we ought to be serving him. He arose and came to his father. This guy had it already in his head what he's going to say. He said, I'm going to tell my dad this. I'm going to tell him this. And on the road back from the far country, he said, I'm going to tell him this. And I'm going to tell him, I'm sorry. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I'm sorry. Will you take me back? Will you let me be a servant? And look what the father does. You know what? If you came home today, you never know what God might do through you. You don't know what God might do. And when he arose, came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, look at that, that father's looking for him. You know, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord will go to and fro through all the earth. But he's also looking, he knows where his children are. He knows that he rescues you every time out of your mess, the messes that you make. If he rescues you every time, you'll never learn. That's what happens to a lot of rich people. Their kids mess up, they pay the way out, get them out, and then the kids get worse and worse and worse. And what happens, God a lot of times lets you go through stuff because he knows it's going to teach you a lesson. Look at this. And when he arose, he came to his father, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion. His father ran. The father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Unexpected. That boy was on his way home, coming down the road, thinking, what I'm going to tell my dad, what I'm going to say to him. And his father ran to him and met him. He'd been watching for him. You know what God's doing? He's watching. He's looking for you. Amen. He's saying, come on home, son. Like that man at D.L. Moody's, son, George, if you're out there, come on home, son. Son, I love you, son. Won't you come home? You ain't got to go out there in the far country, son. Everything you need is right at the house. Love, fine clothes, money, good music. Good food. It's right at the house. Take your Bible, look in Psalm 16. Would you agree with me this morning? We got a good father. Amen. We got a good father. I was praying this morning. I said, Lord, About 4 o'clock this morning, the Lord woke me up. I said, God, you good. Help me do my best to lift you up. Because you're a great God. You're the best thing that ever happened to us. Psalm 16, verse 11. Isn't that something? 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Man, the Lord says, I got it all without sin. I got it all. You know, I've had a better time now in my right mind, sober, no drugs, no drinking. I have a better time, more joy in my life than I ever had before. Ever before. All the parties. The devil will try to remind me sometimes. Remember them party that night? Remember that? Remember this? Remember that? Remember that night at the bar? Remember that? Remember all that stuff? And I go, yeah, I remember. It broke your heart. Yep. It ruined people's lives. Yep. I remember what it did. I can wake up now in my right mind, have a song on my heart about how good God is. He arose, came to his father. His father fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father, before he could get it all out, the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Boy, you come home before you can even get it out, God knows. God knows. Why don't you come home? Why don't you stay home with the Father? Stop going astray. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Oh, God, help us not to wander, Lord. Father, I thank you, God, this morning for your mercy, for your grace. Oh, God, I pray you help my brothers and sisters this morning.